Husker Doc Talk Podcast, 2016, number 2. Greetings and welcome to another edition of the Husker Doc Talk Podcast, presented by the Remington Trophy. I'm Travis Justice, joined once again by the one and only Dr., former Husker All-American, 1994 Big 8 Athlete of the Year, one of the big members of the pipeline, Dr. Rob Zadiska. Doc, you know, I wish we could start the second podcast of the 2016 season off on a more positive note. We were supposed to gather here after Big Ten Media Days, talk about the season coming ahead, and then Nebraska had its world rocked on Sunday when Sam Foles, the punter, was killed tragically in a car accident in Wisconsin. And I tell you what, following this story throughout the week, following the reactions of so many Husker fans, it just truly is a sad, sad story.
You know, it's one of those things, there's really not a lot of words to put on it. And you look at what happened and just the utter tragedy of it. Great athlete, but it's bigger than that. I mean, this was a person. I mean, he's, by all accounts, just an absolutely great kid. Was a Stadler, the Michigan State punter as well. Again, four-time academic All-American. He might have been the only guy smarter than me, darn it, except he was a Michigan State guy, which, honestly, as all of you know, I'm a little bit of a closet Michigan State guy, so I kind of followed this guy. He was the guy who's kind of the sort of the humorous thorn in Faux Pelini's side all the time, if you guys follow Faux Pelini on Twitter. Just a good guy. Just talk about a couple of really, really good athletes, absolutely promising individuals. Stadler was getting ready to go to law school, I believe at Stanford Law. Just a hugely intelligent individual. And when you look at these two guys, one, the loss to their family, the loss to their teammates and community, and just to the loss of what these guys were going to end up contributing in life. And I'm not talking about athletics. I'm talking about life in general, where these guys were going to be as members of the community, family members, fathers, how these people would have impacted the world around them 5 years from now, 20 years from now. All of that loss, and it's just an utter tragedy.
It really is. You know, and so many times when a tragedy like this happens, a lot of people can get poetic, and I mean that in a positive way, to where they can describe the emotion, they can describe, you know, the relationship they had with the person. And I've seen a lot of things in my broadcasting career. I've seen a lot of things in my personal life. I've seen a lot of things in my private life. One thing that I'm inexperienced with, and this may sound, especially for my age, I'm going to be 46 in September, especially for my age.
You are pretty old.
I am not experienced with death. And let me explain what I mean. I have never lost a sibling. I've never lost a child. I have never lost a parent. I have never lost a high school classmate. I have never lost a college classmate that I know of. I have only lost 3 grandparents, and that happened when they were elderly and expected to die. I still have one that's alive that's 95, and I know that she could probably go at any time. So I've never felt tragic loss. So when this happens, I don't know. I'd like to be consoling. I wish I could have an experience of what somebody feels. I don't have that feeling. I can't imagine what parents are going through. I can't imagine what their friends are going through. I mean, I have, you know, brothers and sister-in-laws who lost, you know, classmates in high school. I mean, I've never gone through anything like this. I don't know how any emotion. I mean, you're sad, but I've never been that close to death.
Honestly, it's a concept that's kind of hard to deal with. And I guess from my perspective, I've lost grandparents as well. I've lost other family members. I've lost some, one of my best friends. My father-in-law passed away my first year in med school. I'd like to think I was very close to the guy. Absolutely, absolutely wonderful man.
Now you lost,
and I lost high school classmates. I've lost fraternity brothers from college, and you know, I think I know where you're going with this.
Yeah,
the final one, where it's like the big impact one in terms of something that's received a lot of media attention recently, was the loss of Brooke Behringer, and it's, I got to be honest with you. you never do end up having a good way to deal with
it. Yeah,
and it's never.
But when you're young, because you were a year removed from school when Brooke died in the plane crash.
Correct. Yeah.
But still, how did you handle it then compared to what? I mean, when you're 20, you're what, 22 years old, 23 years old when it happened? How do you handle that?
You don't handle it. Okay. And that's the problem, is that it's one of those things that it hurts and it sucks. And it's not something that most people really don't ever handle death. You keep going. You try to get through life. You go through the day, you go to bed at night, you get up the next morning, and you try and do it all over again. And I've talked to some, hopefully I never come to the situation where you lose a child or a spouse. I've known people who have, and they say it's one of those things where you don't get over it. You don't ever handle it. You just keep going. And it doesn't necessarily get better. You just keep going on, and you try to honor those people by living as well as you can, trying to remember them, trying to keep them in your thoughts. And I think the best that any of us can hope for is that we keep going, we keep them in our memories, and we try to honor them with what we do.
You know, I think the interesting thing about Sam is this, and listen, I didn't know the kid, but you can tell he had a true impact. Not everybody, losing a teammate is hard. Anytime you look at Lawrence Phillips, look at the guys who are still hurting over Lawrence killing himself in prison. Anytime you lose a friend or teammate, it's hard. But you look at what he did in his short time, and
people really liked this guy.
Yeah, I mean, because of what he did, yeah, he was a great punter. But it's clear
it didn't have anything to do with as a football player. People just really liked this guy as a person.
And I think when you see what he did off the field and you read about it and you hear about it, I think he was an inspiration to his teammates of, boy, I wish I could have been like him or could be like him off the field and make a difference in the community. I mean, everybody liked him. And that's hard to say about everybody. I mean,
and he was, you know, you look at it, he was a good guy. He was one of those guys who he was an active guy. He was involved with the one fundraising awareness walk. I'm absolutely blanking on it. That literally 1 week yeah. prior to his death. I mean, he's one of those guys who tried to stay very active in the community, and I think he enjoyed doing that. I think he genuinely liked doing those kinds of things and interacting with fans. He liked interacting with the public. And you saw a huge outpouring of grief amongst his teammates and the people who knew him. I mean, it's just, like I said before, people just really, really liked this guy, and it had nothing to do with the fact that he was a football player.
So we are, you know, a week away from getting fall practice underway. How does a team cope with this? How do you go into, you know, fall camp, get ready for that first game? Emotion's going to carry you so high. I mean, I don't know if it's an emotion that can carry you for the entire season, but it's going to be, I mean, they definitely have something to play for now. But how do you regroup? How do you come together as a team? And what happens in fall practice moving forward?
I think it's one of these situations where they've got to, and when I've been around groups of people that have, when you've been in a similar situation, whether it's been at work or school or an athletic team, again, I kind of made the point earlier that I think the best thing you can do to honor those people is going out and trying to do what they would have wanted you to do. Carry on as best you can, do the best job you can, and try and honor them in that way. And I think from a football standpoint, from a team standpoint, I think they do have a lot to play for. I think this, if anything, I think it probably puts pressure on them to perform more. I think there's going to be a higher degree of pressure on them because I think they're going to feel that there's a little bit of a legacy of a person here. Again, not necessarily of a star punter, of which he was, but I think there's a little bit of the legacy of Sam Foles as a person. And I think the team's going to feel some pressure to try and live up to that legacy. How that affects them on the field, it can hurt you, it can help you. It's going to be interesting to see how the team does in this regard. I think for the most part, people who are playing athletics at a high level, people who are in any organization at a high level, tend to be very strong people mentally. They tend to be strong people emotionally, and most people tend to respond with a sense of healthy grief, in the sense that they tend to come together, they tend to maintain usually a higher degree of focus. And I wouldn't wish anybody to lose a teammate or a member of their organization as a rallying cry or as a mode of motivation. But when it does happen, I think people who are strong people, mentally and emotionally, tend to come together and tend to perform very well. So I would expect them to respond well to this. But it's not easy, and it's going to be a tough thing to do when you lose somebody that so many people on this team appear to be very close to.
You know, you're a doctor, so you've been around death. But I tried to explain this on my radio show during the week, and that is, it's interesting to watch a team under this, because when you're 18 to 22 years old and you're playing Division I college athletics at the highest level, you tend to think you're kind of invincible.
A little bit, yes.
You think you're invincible. The last thing you think about is death. I mean, you think, at that point, you think you're living forever. I'm now in my mid-40s, and I'm starting to, if I have a heart palpitation, I start to think about my mortality. But you don't think about that when you're 18. That is what I worry about. I agree with you that these guys who perform at this level are mentally strong. But this is something mentally you're not prepared for.
Not necessarily, but on the other side, though, I think one of the things that comes out of this that I think is a good thing, and I think it's a healthy thing, is that it does cast a little bit of perspective on your world. When I was in college, I was worried about football. I was worried about my next bench press workout. I was worried about this class or that term paper that was due. Those were the things that just are all-consuming. And for a kid who's 19, 20, 21, 23 years old, those are the kind of things that in your mind are of just absolute utmost importance. And one of the, again, I'm not saying it's a good thing. You don't want to lose a person ever, especially when it's a person like Sam Foltz appears to be. But it's one of these things that there's, I think, a very good and a very healthy sense of perspective that comes out of this. You find you all of a sudden realize what's really important. What's really important as a person. And those are the relationships with people and the relationships with teammates. If it's not an athletic team, it's relationships with other people within your given organization. And those are the things that I think oftentimes kind of get cast aside,
yeah,
and people lose perspective on. I don't want to say there's a silver lining here, because I got to be honest with you, this is one big sad gray cloud. But if there's something that can come out of this that they as a team can build on, it's that focus on the relationships they have with each other and the importance of those relationships as people, not just as teammates or athletes or Huskers, whatever.
And one thing I think I really grew to appreciate from my first year covering Nebraska football, I believe was your senior year, and I went all the way through the 2010 season on a regular basis with Channel 42, then up through Channel 3. And I think as I got older, I think I appreciated more that, and I understood more that everybody, not all 100 guys on the team, 120 guys are going to get along, but it really is a family. For that 4 to 5 years, that is your family, and how it affects everybody. And you go to battle for your family. And that's what you were talking about. I think this brings the unit closer together.
It is, and it heightens emotions.
Yeah.
It makes a loss like this very, very tough to deal with. But if there's people who are going to be able to deal with it, it's these guys.
Of course, the Husker Doc Talk podcast brought to you by the Remington Trophy presentation. Dave Remington was with us on our initial broadcast of the season, or podcast of the season. He just went to Alaska, got back. Don't forget the Remington Trophy presentation coming up in January at the Rococo Theater in Lincoln. But make sure to go to RemingtonTrophy.com right now, because you can see the preseason watch list. He's got the watch list on there. Every award has a watch list, but the Remington Award is a really cool one. And of course, don't forget the Remington Award presentation. Benefits It's the Boomer Esiason Foundation. And now we want to also welcome, with a new season, a new sponsor. And it's great to have Husker Hounds on board. Scotty's been doing this for, almost over 20, maybe 25 years now. Scott Strunk, I'm talking about the owner of Husker Hounds.
Are we going to have Scott on the podcast?
As a matter of fact, I tell you what, he could not be with us here tonight, but I stopped out at his new store the other day. He's got a new store going
out on Maple.
At 149th and Maple, and I just had a little chat with Scott about his new store. Well, Scotty, first of all, welcome to the Husker Doc Talk podcast. Glad to have you on board.
Man, I am talking to royalty. Thanks for having me, Travis.
I wouldn't know if I would go as far as royalty, but the exciting part is you're on for the entire season, and we're launching the season, the 2016 season, and you're launching a brand new store.
Yes. After 22 years, we've decided to branch out and take care of the Northwest Omaha Husker fans. So we're out here on 149th and West Maple Road, right next to the new Gordmans and West Greyhawk.
So when you get open, what kind of special deals do you have for Husker fans? Because we all know Husker fans, they want something.
Everybody likes free stuff. So we've got 500 koozies that we're giving away, 500 t-shirts. We've got 11x17 poster schedules for the upcoming football season that we're giving away. And we're also giving away an autographed Mike Rozier helmet at 10 a.m. on Thursday, July 28th, which is our opening day.
That's excellent. I tell you what, I'm speaking for him, even though he's not here with me right now. He's here as we're doing the podcast, but we're not in his office. But if you ever need Dr. Rob out here for anything, I'll make sure he gets out here for you.
Dr. Rob helped me with my knee replacement 2 years ago. I love Dr. Rob. he has a very special place in my heart.
So the new store, the address is?
The exact address, Travis, is 14937 Evans Plaza. But nobody knows what Evans Street is. It's basically 149th and West Maple Road, and we're on the south side.
That's Scotty from Husker Hounds, new sponsor of the Husker Doc Talk podcast. And make sure to go to Husker Hounds at huskerhounds.com. I tell you what, I've known Scott for a number of years, Dr. Rob, and he is the biggest Husker fan I know. I mean, he started selling t-shirts like out of the trunk of his car, and it's grown into three stores now. And he's got the coolest stuff. He's got... everything's officially licensed. It's so cool. I was out in the new store, and it's awesome.
I love his stores. You know, I live blocks from the 84th and Center yep. store, and so I'm in there all the time. I've got a lot of stuff from Scott. And he's got some great stuff. He's got some wonderful memorabilia. If you're kind of into the collecting side of stuff,
yeah.
he's got some old stuff. If you like the older memorabilia, posters, autographs, photos. I mean, even like the old Coca-Cola and Pepsi ceramics from the 1960s. Yeah. He's got all of that stuff. It's a fun store. I mean, all his stores are fun stores just to go around. If you're a Husker fan, get in there, walk around, take a look at stuff. My kids are always dragging me in there because we get, you know, the big, really nice glass football or helmet display cases.
Yep. Yep.
We're always going in there because anytime my kids have some kind of artwork that they're putting together that they need a display case for, I'm going to Scott and buying football and helmet display cases from Husker.
And he was also a testimonial for your doctor skills because he said he was scared shitless before he went underneath the knife.
I stuck needles in Scott.
Yes, you did. That's not, you know, Scott disclosed that, so we're not letting any breaking any HIPAA laws.
He said it first. So, but you know what? He really did great. And I was going to say he's a wonderful guy to work with. And if you need anything, the guy's got a huge heart. He's got... To say he's got a little bit of a soft spot for Nebraska sports is
an understatement.
A bit of an understatement. You know, the nice thing about it, though, is he kind of carries everything. He's got Creighton gear. You need your Creighton gear, go see Scott. He'll take care of you.
Of course, if you do not live in the Omaha metro or even in the state of Nebraska, you can order online at huskerhounds.com. That's huskerhounds.com. With the tragic passing of Sam Foles, Nebraska elected not to go to Big Ten Media Days. It was the right thing to do, and I think everybody understood that. But Big Ten Media Days went on without Nebraska. The Cleveland newspaper did the unofficial media poll of Big Ten football, and Nebraska picked to finish second, Rob, in the West Division behind Iowa, which is expected. There's not, but I think it's going to be between, you look at the West, I think it comes down to between Nebraska and Iowa for the championship.
I think it does. I don't think Wisconsin's going to be as bad as people may think.
You don't think so?
No, and if you look at some of the sports writers that are covering them, I mean, if you look at people making the personal picks, it's all Iowa, Wisconsin, Nebraska, Iowa, Nebraska, Wisconsin. You could probably interchange them because I think Wisconsin's going to do what Wisconsin does. They got a huge offensive line. They're going to have a solid running game. The quarterback play is going to be a little bit suspect, but it kind of always is. And other than the year they had Russell Wilson there, they'll have a good, maybe not great, but they'll have a solid defense, and I think they're going to be a little bit better than people give them credit for. Iowa, I got to be honest. To me, Iowa is still a little bit of a question mark because
What's the question mark?
I'm still convinced that last year, Iowa was kind of smoke and mirrors.
Actually, I was talking to Chuck Long. Yes, I'm dropping the name, but I was talking to Chuck Long, and we had this conversation, and because he also works for the Big Ten Network now. But he says, you know, Iowa could actually have a better team than they did last year, but a worse record.
I agree.
You know,
well, and I think a lot of that, again, goes into the fact that, you know, they had somewhat of a, I don't want to call it a pedestrian offense. I mean, they weren't blowing people out last year.
No, but their offensive line is going to be pretty loaded this year. CJ Beathard's a leader.
Beathard is good at what Iowa wants him to do. He's not going to be he's one of these guys. He will be a career second or third string NFL quarterback. He's one of these guys who managed the game, managed the ball, and I thought he did that for Iowa last year. Opportunistic, I'll give him that. He's one of those guys that if you make a mistake, he's going to make you pay for it. I think Iowa's running game and their offensive line play, same kind of thing last year. They had two plays against Nebraska. Nathan Jerry wasn't in. Safeties got out of position, and Iowa gashed him for two long touchdown runs. It was two mistakes by Nebraska.
But, and you know as well as I do. You guys went unbeaten, but because you were that good, you're that dominating. But for most teams to go unbeaten, you got to be good, but it also takes a little bit of luck.
Now, and I'm not saying Iowa's not a good team. Don't get me wrong here. You've got to be good to run the record that they had last year. It's just that when you got towards the end of the season, when you got against Michigan State, which
that was a good game, though.
It was a great game.
It's the Stanford game where they showed.
It was. But it showed how close some of these other teams in the Big Ten actually were to Iowa.
Yeah.
And I think Michigan State kind of plays Iowa's game. I mean, it's solid quarterback play. It's a great running game. It's a stud offensive line. You got Allen at center, by the way, Remington watch list at Michigan State. They moved the younger brother, Allen, over to center to replace the graduating one. Michigan State's got a great offensive line. They play very solid defense. They are like a slightly more talented Iowa, and that's why they beat Iowa. Like I said, I think Iowa's good. I think they started getting exposed a little bit against Michigan State.
But it's not a shock they were picked to win the West. They should be picked to win the West.
No, and I thought they got – the game against Stanford did not surprise me.
No.
I think that
quickest start, I think, surprised me, but obviously they showed that they were flawed. Now, Iowa, you know, Iowa, Nebraska, I think they're about parallel. I really do this year. I think talent-wise they're about parallel. But here's the difference, Nebraska has a tougher road schedule. I mean, Iowa gets Michigan at home. Iowa gets Wisconsin at home. Iowa gets Nebraska at home.
Agreed.
You know,
Nebraska schedule. If Mike Riley was going to have an easy start to his tenure at Nebraska, last season would have been the season to take advantage of the schedule. This year's not it.
Otherwise, Big Ten Media Day is pretty boring. I mean, Jim Harbaugh shows up in a suit wearing the Michigan hat. He's never taken the Michigan hat out. You know how rock stars will like wear the sunglasses or have something? Jim Harbaugh's never taking that hat off.
That's his sunglasses.
I'm almost
surprised it wasn't a pair of khakis.
Yeah, he threw out the first pitch. We are recording this on Wednesday night. He's throwing out the first pitch at Wrigley Field tonight. He had a pair of khakis on. He took off the Michigan hat and put on a Cubs hat.
When in Chicago, got to do it.
Well, if Theo Epstein's having you throw out the first pitch, You got to do that.
Yeah, you can. I think that's not a bad thing. That might have been the most exciting thing, was just Harbaugh showing up.
I was going to say, there's nothing in media days are just, they're canned now. There's nothing, because we live in a 24-hour news cycle, 365, because
you've already got all the news.
Yes, there's nothing new.
25 years ago, this is where a lot of reporters would have gotten a huge treasure trove of information going into the season.
I remember going down to Kansas City for Big 8 Media Days.
Because you had to.
Yeah.
There was no other way to get that kind of information.
And I'll tell this story, because it was Rick Neuheisel's first year. And I remember walking. We just got done interviewing.
At Colorado.
So he had just taken Bill McCartney's place. And we just got done interviewing Rick Neuheisel. So I go up to the hotel room, put my stuff away. We're hungry. So we're walking down the street. There's Rick Neuheisel with Dave Platty, the sports information director for Colorado. And I'm like, hey, coach, we just got an interview. And yeah, we remember you. You guys, and Neuheisel goes, and this is why I like him to this day. He goes, you want to go have dinner with us? I'm like, all right, sure. I mean, what am I supposed to say? No? And so I have no idea where we're going. I'm really young at this point. I got a phone talk. He's like, we're going to go out to dinner with Rick Neuheisel. We end up at the Plaza 3 in Kansas City. Now, if you know what the Plaza 3 is, that's an a la carte restaurant. I had no idea. All right? So I'm young and dumb.
This would be like Mahogany Prime.
Absolutely.
In Omaha.
Yeah. So it's Mahogany Prime in Omaha. So we ended up, Neuheisel orders like 3 bottles of wine. And we're just counting. All of a sudden, we get the bill for 4 people. It's like $1,200. And I'm like, oh my God, how am I going to pay for this? I don't know how I'm going to pay for this, because the station would give me a per diem. It didn't cover that. So
it didn't have $300 per dinner?
Yeah, per dinner.
That was probably your monthly load per diem.
Because when Rick Neuheisel said you want to go out for dinner, I figured, well, you're buying, right? Oh no, he didn't buy. He goes, well, we're splitting it. I didn't know that. I had no idea we were going to split it. But it was great, because it was a great conversation. And it's one of those reasons why I still like Rick Neuheisel.
Okay, hold on. So you guys split it?
Yes.
Oh, dear God.
I know. So I had to whip out my original Discover card. Please, I get 2% cash back on this purchase. But yeah, so that's why I've always liked Rick Neuheisel. I know a lot of Nebraska fans don't like him. I know a lot of people don't like him.
You know, I never had any problem with the guy. He always seemed a little wishy-washy.
Well, he's wishy-washy. When he did, you know, I lost respect for him.
He's one of those guys, in my opinion, should have just stayed a great offensive coordinator and understood that was what he was good at.
You know, why the hell did Bill Snyder, I don't get this, drop the Nebraska's not happy in the Big Ten, they would come back to the Big 12? That's not happening. That's not a good move, especially when you're considering adding Houston.
Man, you just like slid right into Big 12 media day.
But it's combining the two, because what is Bill Snyder? Is Bill Snyder senile now?
I think that statement kind of got taken out of context a little bit. And the context that it was taken out of is the fact that there was a large amount of discussion about expanding the Big 12 conference.
Yeah.
About other teams coming in. Could they get BYU, for instance? What's Houston going to do?
Well, Rick Neuheisel, the reason I brought up Rick Neuheisel is he was on Fox Sports Radio the other day, and he talked about, hey, you know, the Big 12 needs to look a little farther in that fact that Arizona and Arizona State might be interested. UCLA might be interested, because it's not all hunky-dory in the Pac-12. There's still a lot of things that the Pac-12 does that a lot of schools don't like the fact that all the California schools have to play one another. You know, there's some things. So that just got me thinking, well, and here's Bill Snyder thinking, well, he'd like to have Nebraska back. And I think he's saying, I want Nebraska back in this league.
I think that's kind of what it was. Yes. I don't think it was a case of where he was. I think it was a little out of context in terms of the expansion talk. But I think it was a little bit of nostalgia for what the old Big 8 conference had as far as a conference goes, which at the end of the Big 8, it was a reasonably solid conference. Oklahoma was kind of failing, but was still an okay team. Oklahoma State had okay teams. Kansas State was very good. Colorado was very good. Nebraska was a very good team. And you had strong basketball. You had strong wrestling. You had strong volleyball. You had great baseball. It was a good sports conference. And I think it was a nostalgic comment. But like I said, I think a lot of it got taken out of context when people were having very extensive discussions at Big 12 Media Days about expanding that. The role of, like I said, I think Houston and BYU were kind of brought up in discussion quite a bit. Houston especially, although I'm not sure Tom Herman's ready to make any major moves yet as the coach there. Although, well, I'm not sure Houston's kind of counting on Herman staying there for a real long time.
Well, I think they think if they get the Big 12, he stays along. But I don't think that's the case. And right now, you just had SMU throw $150 million into its football facilities, hoping to make an impression. The last thing you want is SMU. I mean, if you're going to add SMU in Houston, you might as well just call it the Southwest Conference. And again, Nebraska's happy in the Big Ten. I think the Big Ten is a much better league for it to be in. I think the stability that Jim Delaney brings as a commissioner is absolutely amazing. Now, there's politics with everything.
Everybody's got their quibbles and fights and disagreements. The Big Ten is one of the more stable conferences out there. It's done not great, but it's done an okay job of staying somewhat regional. And I guess I reference that with the Big Eight, or the Big 12, rather, which stretches from Texas to West Virginia. It's a little helter skelter.
They may go to Utah.
Yeah, there's not a lot of regional identity.
Because they were late to the game. When Nebraska and Colorado bolted, they never reacted the right way. They were late to the game. They did everything they could to save Texas because Texas was gone, Oklahoma was gone. They were going to go to the Pac-12. And they sold out, and then they had to expand. So then they got stuck with West Virginia. That's why even today, even as stable as the Big 12 is now, the Big 10 is the place to be. I think everybody knows that, and I think Husker fans can even admit now it's a much better home than the Big 12 ever was. Even though you haven't won a conference, come on now.
You know, I mean, there were years, the early part of the Big 12 when the Big 12 North, I mean, the first third of the Big 12 conference. The Big 12 North kind of ruled the roost. It was Nebraska, K-State, and Colorado were kind of the teams to beat.
But then everything that Texas wanted, Texas got, and you saw the downhill slide.
And I think that's what caused a lot of problems. And I do think that led, to a degree, Nebraska looking to leave. Now, I think a lot of it had to do with the academic, the grant money, the research money, the academic sharing programs within the Big Ten were kind of the big movers and shakers with the move to the Big Ten. That being said, when you look at some of the stuff, like, I mean, I, from people I know that work, did work and still work at UNL, essentially the fact that Texas orchestrated Nebraska basically kind of getting booted out of the AAU, it was something that really, really, it pissed off Nebraska, and should have. It was an underhanded move by Texas. And it was kind of a snide move. It was basically we're going to work some politics because we think we're better than you, and we're going to do it specifically with the idea of getting you booted out of the AAU, and we're doing it just kind of to be jackholes about it. And that was something that Nebraska basically, I don't want to say they took their ball and went home, but Nebraska basically did a, listen, this is how the members of this conference are going to treat each other. We're leaving and going to go to a place where schools don't treat each other like that.
And that would be the Big Ten. Of course, this is going to be a great Big Ten season. Nebraska most definitely will compete for the Big Ten West Division title, and Dr. Rob and I are going to be here all season with you. Before we go, I want to thank everybody who listens. Our numbers, and I'm not here to brag, our numbers are bigger than they ever have been. This podcast, which we do just during the season, keeps getting bigger and bigger. And Rob, I'm going to give you our top 10 states, all right? Nebraska is number one. There's no doubt that most people listen to this podcast are in Nebraska. Colorado is number two. California, number three. Missouri, number four. Texas, number five. Iowa, number six. Georgia, number seven. Florida, number eight. North Carolina, number nine. I give you the top nine. So there.
I'm sitting here as you're reading those off, like the first five or six, I'm like, okay, big alumni group there. Yep, big alumni group there. Yep, there's a big alumni group there. Then you hit Iowa, and it's one of those, they're listening, because they hate
us. Well, actually, and you know that I host a radio show in Des Moines, and there's a huge Nebraska contingent. How I actually got that job in Des Moines was when I was still on Channel 3, I did a Husker segment. So I was their Husker correspondent for the station I'm on right now, because and they had that sold and sponsored because there's that much of a Nebraska contingent in Des Moines. The Georgia one's
that's
pretty
nice to know. Yeah. Georgia's entering North Carolina.
North Carolina.
Even Florida's a little surprising to me. Now, I know a lot of Nebraskans who like that as a retirement destination versus Arizona, but why North Carolina?
I have no idea, but we have listeners from all over the country and all over the world, and we can't thank you enough for listening to this podcast. We have fun doing it, and we'll be back again next week. Here's what we're going to do. Next 2 weeks, we're going to be covering the Big Ten. So next week, Rob and I will cover the East Division. And then the following week, we'll do the West Division. And then we'll be really into fall camp at that point. We'll start ramping up, talking about Nebraska specifically, leading into the first game of the season. Dr. Rob, always good to see you. Thank you for stopping by tonight. I want to thank Scotty from Husker Hounds. Go to huskerhounds.com and visit the new store at 149th and Maple. And as always, thank you to Dave Remington and the Remington Trophy, the presenting sponsor of the Husker Doc Talk podcast.